The following audio is from LCBC Church. To learn more about LCBC, visit lcbcchurch.com.
Well, LCBC, it is great to be joining you as we jump into this brand new series on prayer. And I really mean that. I am excited for this series for multiple reasons, not the least of which, and I hope it's okay that I say this, but I think sometimes church leaders make the mistake of assuming that people know what prayer is and understand how to do it. And prayer is too important. It is too crucial to our relationship with God and how we engage with the world around us for us to just assume that everyone knows what it is. I mean, we do not want to make the mistake of assuming people are just going to stumble into the habit of praying. So I'm just going to tell you right up front, our hope for you through this series, whether you already pray or you haven't prayed in a while, or you've never prayed before, our hope is that this series would bring clarity to what prayer is, that it would teach us that we can say anything when we pray, and that it would launch us into becoming a people committed to prayer. That you would walk away from this wanting to pray, not just praying occasionally or at church on the weekends, but that you would be inspired to integrate prayer into your daily lives. You see, for us as Christians, prayer is an essential part of our faith, but understand, prayer does not distinguish us as Christians. And even though Christianity is not a religion, as we just learned about in our last series, Christianity, prayer for Christians, does not distinguish us from religions, because people in all religions pray. I mean, I'd go so far as to say that even if you would describe yourself as an agnostic or an atheist, you've been tempted at one point in time or another to pray, to something, even if it's just yourself. I mean, come on. We all turn into people of prayer around the holidays, at Christmas, when we're driving through the mall parking lot, don't we? I mean, I know that some of you out there have said things like, just please let me find a parking space, I'll do anything. Or we all turn into people of prayer when football season starts, especially you Eagles fans. I know that you are all praying real hard during the NFL draft this year, every single one of you. Yeah. Or students, you turn into people of prayer during exam time, especially when you haven't studied. That's when you start praying for a miracle. The point is that prayer isn't unique for Christians, but prayer is unique for us in that when we pray, we are engaging with a God who's living and active and who cares about us deeply. When we pray, we are engaging with the creator of the universe who not only hears us, but who holds the power to answer our prayers. You see, our tendency when it comes to prayers, though, at times, is just to treat prayer as if it's all about us asking God for things. I mean, we treat God as if he's kind of like this cosmic vending machine that we go to when we need or want something. And listen, I am not saying that it's wrong to ask God for things. Don't hear me say that. We're actually told in the Bible to pray about everything and to tell God what we need. But prayer is so much more than us just asking God for things. So before I get into anything else today, I just want to catch us all up on the same page and give you a definition of exactly what prayer is. Here it is. Prayer is simply having a conversation with God. It's talking and listening to God just as if you were talking and listening to a friend. It's us personally communicating with God, having a conversation with him, an honest conversation. That's it. That's all that prayer is. And I get when I say an honest conversation that might make some of you squirm a bit, because the thought of you having an honest conversation with God honestly makes you uncomfortable. It might even make you feel anxious. And there could be multiple reasons for that. I mean, maybe you have no idea how to start this conversation. Or maybe it feels awkward because you can't see God when you're talking to him. Or maybe you're afraid that you won't say the right words in the right way, or it could even be that you were raised in a tradition that taught you that only priests or pastors pray. Or it could be that you carry so much shame and guilt from your past that you just want to run and hide from God. The last thing that you want to do is have an honest conversation with him. We could be here all week coming up with reasons why people don't pray. But here's why prayer is crucial for us. If you want more of God's presence and power in your life, if you want to know his will for you, if you want your relationship with him to move forward, not praying is not an option. See, when we go to God honestly, here's what happens. Prayer grows our relationship with God. Whenever you have a conversation with him, whenever you engage with God through talking and listening, there is an inherent dynamic that takes place. The relationship grows. See, if you want to develop a friendship with someone, what do? You talk. If you want to get to know your employees, you talk. If you want to get to know that guy or that girl that you've seen around school or around campus, well, then you better get to talking. Parents, this is how we maintain relationships with our kids. We communicate. Spouses, the same thing. I mean, you get the picture. You all know this. We instinctively know that in order to move forward in our relationships, we must communicate. In order to connect with others, it's going to require talking and listening. And we all know what happens when we don't communicate. The relationship suffers. It eventually fizzles out. It doesn't go anywhere. And the same is true in our relationship with God. That's one of the reasons why the Bible instructs us to pray. That's one of the reasons why Jesus instructed us to pray. Because he knew that our relationship with him would never flourish if we don't talk to him. You see, when Jesus' disciples approached Jesus and asked him if he would teach them how to pray, Jesus did not give them a long list of instructions and rules to prayer that they had to follow. You want to know what Jesus did? All he did was start talking. In other words, it's through conversation with God that we learn to pray. It's through having a conversation with God that our relationship moves forward. It's not complicated. We are the ones who've made it complicated. See, we get this idea that if we don't pray with enough faith, or if we don't pray hard enough, that God's not going to respond to our prayers. Or we have this idea that there are things that we shouldn't pray about. Things that are off limits. Like if we are frustrated, if we're angry, if we're discouraged or depressed, God's not going to want to talk to us about those things. We got to go clean ourselves up first. We got to get our act together before we talk to God about anything. But when you read what the Bible has to say about prayer, and it says a lot, you will see that the opposite is true. In fact, in the Old Testament, there is an entire book called the Psalms that is dedicated to prayer. Psalms is a collection of 150 prayers. And the Psalms are a real garden variety of prayers. Prayers prayed for all kinds of reasons. Prayers that deal with all kinds of things. And if you were hesitant to have an honest conversation with God for any of the reasons that I just mentioned or some other reason that I didn't mention, well, then you're going to want to lean into this for the next few moments. You see, most of the Psalms were written by a man named David, King David. David wrote some of these prayers that we find in the Psalms when he was a shepherd boy tending his father's flock, and some of the prayers he wrote after he was crowned king of Israel. But here's what I want you to know about David. David wasn't perfect. He was a flawed man. He made some mistakes, some big mistakes. He did some shameful things. In fact, David was a murderer. David was an adulterer. If you've never read what the Bible says about David, the story of David in the Bible, let me encourage you, you really should go read it. It's guaranteed to raise some eyebrows. I mean, there are times that David overreacted. There were times that he was dramatic. There were times that he raged. And this is the guy that wrote most of the prayers that we find in the Psalms. This is the guy that the Bible actually calls a man after God's own heart. And some of David's psalms are like comforting and soothing. Some of them bring us joy and hope. When you're reading through these psalms, it's actually like reading through the pages of a journal. I mean, it won't take you very long to realize that David was not afraid to be raw and honest with God. Some of David's psalms were shocking. So shocking that theologians, people who study God, have actually given these psalms their own name and category. They're called imprecatory psalms. In other words, these are prayers that David prayed asking God to invoke some kind of disaster or judgment or curse on someone else. And honestly, when I read some of these imprecatory psalms, it kind of makes me feel uncomfortable. But David wasn't afraid to be real and raw and honest. And then there are other prayers of David that he prayed where he directs his frustration, his confusion, his despair, his discouragement to God. Prayers filled with some pretty intense emotions that I'd venture to say a lot of us can relate to in our own lives. Let me show you one of these prayers that David prayed. It's found in Psalm 13, and here's what David says. He says, "O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand?" You see, David started his conversation with God in this particular prayer with some questions. You can tell just by reading this that David's struggling. He's having this desperate moment. I mean, four times in this conversation, David says, "How long? How long will you forget me? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul? How long will my enemy have the upper hand?" I mean, David's desperate. We don't know how long was. It could have been weeks, it could have been months, it could have been years. But what is clear is that David feels like God has forgotten him. David feels like God has abandoned him. He doesn't know why God's not responding. And David's tired. He's tired of the silence. Some of you know this all too well. You have your own how long moments. And if you were having an honest conversation with God right now, some of your questions would actually look the same as David's. Like, how long are we going to have to wait to have this baby? How long am I going to have to wait for that person that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with? How long am I going to have to pray for my husband to surrender his life to Jesus? How long will I be fighting this illness? How long will I have to wait for God to answer my prayers? Jonathan and I, we have a friend who shared with us a few weeks ago that he has been in a how long moment for 25 years. 25 years is a long time. That's a desperate feeling. And I wish I could say, when I've encountered these how long moments, that I've always walked through them with grace. But I haven't. Because when we find ourselves in a how long moment, it usually does one of two things. The waiting either drives us to God in prayer, or it causes us to turn and walk away from God. And when I've encountered these how long moments, what I've done multiple times throughout my life is I've chosen to stop talking to God. I've turned and I've walked away from him. Because my tendency, and maybe some of you can relate to this, maybe, my tendency is that when I don't feel like God is responding quick enough to my prayers, I like to take matters into my own hands. I mean, I don't like for things to go unresolved. I don't like tension. I like for things to be fixed quickly, resolved. I mean, maybe you feel that way. But when I get into these moments where I'm like, all right, God, you're not responding quick enough. I'll just handle it myself. You know what always happens? I inevitably make a mess of things. Every time. David didn't let his how long moment drive him away from God. He went to God and he told him exactly how he was feeling. And when God was silent, you know what David did? He kept talking. David actually goes on in this prayer to say this. He says, "Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die." That's desperation. That's barely hanging on right there. "Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, 'We have defeated him.' Don't let them rejoice at my downfall." See, in this prayer, David doesn't just question God. He pleads with God. He begs God. You could even say he demands God turn and answer him. Turn and answer me, or what's the alternative? Death. I mean, David is literally hanging on by a thread. You could just say he's surviving. He says, restore the sparkle or I will die. He is just surviving. Maybe you know what that feels like, to just go through the motions every day, just trying to survive one day and get to the next day. I mean, anxiety, depression, discouragement, worry, anger, fear, all of those things have a tendency to just suck the life right out of us. And David felt all of those things. But he took them to God in conversation. He talked to God about it. I remember wrestling with my own how long moment. Like I said a few minutes ago, I mean, I've had multiple how long moments in my life, but this one in particular sticks out to me. It was a number of years ago, and this is before Jonathan and I ever moved to Pennsylvania, before he ever came on staff at LCBC. I just want to make that really clear before I start telling this story. LCBC has nothing to do with this. But a number of years ago, Jonathan, who worked at a church at that point in time, was experiencing a really difficult situation. It was a situation that was causing a lot of anxiety and stress, discouragement, tension. It was causing that for Jonathan at work, and that was bleeding over into his family life and into our relationship with each other. I mean, we'd gotten to the point, me especially, I had gotten to the point where I wanted Jonathan to just walk away from full-time ministry forever. I was done. I wanted him to start his own landscaping business. He'd done that in college, and I'm like, anything is better than this. Just start a landscaping business. You see, here's the thing. I wasn't talking to God about it. I didn't want to talk to God about it. I was mad at God. I was frustrated with God. Since this was a ministry position, I felt like God is the one who has sent us here. He's the one who's led us here. And here it is. We are struggling and we are desperate to keep our heads above water. And I remember one evening, the tension and the stress had gotten so overwhelming. I didn't know what else to do. So I walked into my closet, I sat on the floor, and in spite of not wanting to talk to God, I started talking to God. Yelling at him, really. I mean, it was clenched fist and gritted teeth, all of it. It was not a pretty conversation. I'd venture to say it would rival some of David's shocking prayers. It was raw and it was honest. And I don't remember how that prayer ended, because the next morning I woke up still laying on the floor of our closet. I wish I could tell you that God responded to that right away. He didn't. God remained silent. He wasn't acting. He wasn't talking. There was no game plan, except as far as I knew, more of the same. But what I can tell you is that the next morning when I woke up, I had a renewed sense of God's presence. Because I think as I look back on that situation, that all God wanted me to do was just come and have an honest conversation with him about how I was struggling. And we aren't told how God responded to David's prayer, but we do know that as David prayed, something was happening in his heart that moved him from despair to hope. Look at how he finishes this prayer. He says, but I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. You see, David turned a corner, but in spite of the struggle, in spite of feeling abandoned by God, in spite of God not responding, in spite of the despair, David goes from pleading God turn and answer him to demanding his soul trust and rejoice and sing. He moved from despair to hope. It was in talking to God that the outlook for his future changed. You see, a side effect of prayer for us is that it influences how we think. It influences how we react, how we respond when difficult circumstances come our way. It changes our outlook on the future. The point is not so much what David prayed, but that he went to God with his struggles, with his questions. And even when God was silent, David kept talking. He wasn't worried about offending God. He wasn't worried that his questions would make God mad. He wasn't worried that he would say the wrong thing or that God would reject his prayers. He knew that God could handle all of that. And the same is true for you and me. All of our concerns, all of our hesitations, everything that we struggle, all of those things we can take to God. Listen, what you pray is far less consequential than if you pray. God can handle what we bring to him. I mean, if God can delight in the raw, honest, sometimes shocking conversations that we find in Psalms, then God can delight in ours too, without us having to clean it up first. Psalm 51:6, another Psalm of David. David tells us that God desires our honesty. God wants to hear truth from us when we talk to him. He can handle it. He hears it. I mean, when your kids are struggling and hurting, or even when things are going great for your kids, what do you want them to do? You want them to come talk to you. I want my kids to come talk to me about anything and everything. In fact, I know that I annoy my kids all the time because I'm constantly trying to pull things out of them. How was your day? Good. No. Tell me how your day at school was. Give me some details. I want to know it all. That's God's heart for us. And even more incredible than his heart to us is his posture to us when we pray. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, which just so happens to be another Psalm of David, found in Psalm chapter 116, verse 2. Here's what David says God's posture is to us when we pray. He says, because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Think about that. The creator of the universe bends down to listen to us as we pray. Parents, isn't this what you do for your kids when you want them to know they have your undivided attention? You don't bend over, you bend down. You get on their level and you look them in the eye, face to face, and you let them know they have your undivided attention when they're talking to you. You and I, we may be one of billions of people on this planet, but whenever you are engaging with God in conversation, he hears it. All the stuff that you were hung up on, all the things you were going through, all the emotions, the doubts, the feelings, even if God chooses not to respond, he is right there listening when you pray. You have his undivided attention. And I don't know about you, but in this crazy world that we live in, I desperately need a relationship with a God like that. I desperately need a relationship that I can go to where I can vent my frustrations and air my grievances and express my dreams and my desires and my hopes and my needs, even my wants, and express my gratitude and my praise, a relationship with a God that will keep me grounded in hope, that will keep me grounded in what is true. I don't want you to miss out on a relationship like that. God doesn't want you to miss out on that relationship. That's what he desires from us. He desires relationship, not well-prepared speeches. His heart is that we would experience his presence and his power, his peace, and his faithfulness. That's all that God wants. It's just relationship with you and me. There is no formula to prayer. There's no right words that we have to pray in a right order. There's no routine that we have to do. There's no quota that you have to meet with a number of words you say. You do not have to go through a priest or a pastor. There are no questions that are off limit. There are no good or bad prayers. What is inescapable about prayer is that there is an invitation to you and to me to pray that goes far beyond repetition and routine. There is a profound invitation to you and to me to personally engage in a relationship with a God that loves us so much that he sent his son to pay our sin debt and take our place on the cross. And that, if there's no other reason, that is enough for me to want to get to know a God like that. I want to be in the presence of a God who loves me that way. I want to talk to God who bends down and gives me his undivided attention as I pray. So for you, no matter where you find yourself at today, no matter what your past is like, whether you haven't prayed in a long time or you've never prayed, you are personally invited to start talking to God today, just like you talk to a friend. It doesn't have to sound pretty. It doesn't have to be words that you even know what to say. If you don't know what to say, just go say, God, I'm here. I don't know what to say, but I'm here and I want to talk. And then if you don't know what to say, if you can't come up with anything, pray the Psalms. You can find Psalms right in the middle of your Bible. Open up the Psalms, find a Psalm. God's not going to get mad at you if you plagiarize the Psalms and make it your own. Or you can add your own words to it. Something that I do is I sometimes listen to worship music, and I use those words as my own when I pray to God. Or you could be like David. You could write down your prayers. It could also be that you are here today and you're someone who prays. You've been praying for a long time, but you're finding yourself like in one of those how long moments, and you're frustrated, you're tired, you're struggling, and you've been tempted to stop praying, and you don't know what else to pray. Let me encourage you. Maybe take the words of Psalm 13. Pray those words to God. Add your own how long questions to those. Just start praying. And don't stop talking. Even when we can't feel it or see it, he's working. He's moving. You will not find a better friend, listener, or safer place to go to than Jesus. He is faithful to respond to our prayers. And his timing is always perfect. So what's going to happen right now is I'm going to pray. I'm just going to have a conversation with God. And then the band is going to sing. And as the band sings, you can use this time, this space, maybe start praying to God for the first time. Tell him about whatever is on your heart. Father, God, all you desire from us is just a relationship. God, you're not looking for anything in return. Just a conversation. God, prayer is such a privilege. God, I don't want to take that privilege for granted. God, you've made a way through Jesus for us to come to you anytime, anywhere, about anything. God, thank you for that privilege. Thank you that you are a God who wants to hear what we say, who cares about all the details in our life, whatever is going on in our life, good or bad. God, you bend down and you listen to us. God, thank you for making a way for us to engage with you in conversation. You did that through Jesus. God, thank you isn't even enough for that. Thank you for hearing us. I love you. In Christ's name.